Welcome to this Friday edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson. And Ryan, here we sit in the middle of August, and I hate to be the one to say this, but summer is winding down.
I'm actually, for the first time in my life, okay with that because it's going to cool down just a little bit.
Wait, you are looking forward to cooler weather.
I know.
There's something wrong.
I drug my heels all the way from California here, and yet I'm looking forward to a little bit of, winter.
To winter?
No.
Never.
No.
You say that.
Yes. We're not alone in the studio, Luann. We have someone here with us. Dad, why don't you introduce her?
Well, it's a pleasure to have Joni join us today, Joni Riley, and she is an intern for us at Family Talk. She's been with us since May. And Joni, it's been wonderful having you with us. You're a student at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs.
Yes, sir.
And in your junior year, you're 21 years old.
Yes, sir.
Why did you come to Family Talk to serve as an intern for us? You don't get paid. Why'd you come here?
Well, really, Doctor, I was looking for an opportunity to serve somewhere that was making a difference and really desired to make an impact in the culture, because everywhere I look, I see things going awry, and I feel like if I can make a small difference, if it be in the smallest way, that means everything.
Well, Joni, you've done a great job this summer, and it's a pleasure to invite you to come into the studio with us today, because we're going to talk about my brand new book called Head Over Heels, How to Fall in Love and Land on Your Feet.
It's a great title, Doctor.
It is a great title.
I love it.
And as you know, because you've read the book, it's geared to young people like yourself who are in that stage of life where they're beginning to think about finding someone to love. And this book is geared for and focuses on the subject of romantic love. And surprisingly, there's a lot of confusion about that subject, not only with people your age, Joni, but for those who are older, too. And we started our program last time by my reading a portion of my August letter to our constituency, about 200,000 people, where I discussed the meaning of love.
Dad, in Head Over Heels, you've got a 10-point quiz. It's true or false on romantic love and people's feelings about it. And I think it'd be fun for you to walk us through that and let our listeners take that quiz, then you can explain it when we're done.
I know that women love to take quizzes, don't you? So you have our attention right here.
Well, we'll see how well they do. You know, this 10-point quiz actually came out of my counseling as a psychologist, especially in the early days. I talked to many young couples, a lot of them in the midst of premarital counseling, about their love affair and what it meant and how permanent it was and how to keep it alive. And I kept stumbling across the same errors or confusion about what romantic love is really all about. And so I created this 10-point quiz and found that very few people get them right. And in fact, those who have been married for 20 or 30 years often get them wrong, too. And so I have written them into this little book, Head Over Heels. And you've already implied it, Ryan, but we're going to ask those 10 questions of our listeners out there and let Joni answer them all.
Oh, dear.
She's already read the book. That's not fair.
And we will talk about them.
All right. Well, let's get started, Doctor. Again, there are 10 statements that we will be reading, and they all are either true or false. So people listening need to mark true or false. Statement number one, love at first sight occurs between some people.
All right, let me explain something from the beginning, that some of this is subjective. Some of this represents my observations in dealing with people. But I can tell you I feel very strongly about the validity of what I'm about to tell you. First, love at first sight occurs between some people. That is a physical and emotional impossibility. So the answer is false. That statement is not true, because love is not simply a feeling of romantic excitement That's what can happen at first sight. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing someone across a crowded room and all of a sudden you're in love.
Makes a great song.
You're not saying people can't have very strong feelings at first sight, but actual love is an impossibility.
How long will those strong feelings carry you with all of the challenges of life and living together day by day and raising children and financial problems and all those things? Are those feelings going to last? I mean, we're getting into the second question now, but the truth of the matter is love at first sight does not represent real love. I wish every couple knew that fact. You know, these temporary feelings that come from the romantic excitement and that exhilaration that makes you want to say, what's happening to me? This is the most fantastic thing I've ever been through. I think I'm in love. Yeah, the important thing to understand is those feelings are always selfish. Because they focus on me.
Are you trying to take that away from people? Are you trying to take away that first experience of saying, wow?
Ryan, I am by nature a romantic person. I really am. And I fell in love with Shirley because she's a romantic person. But that feeling that we had when we first really were attracted to each other was not what's held us together for 51 years.
Sure, of course.
And it didn't happen at first sight. I guarantee you that.
You're not discouraging people from having those feelings, but you're saying that won't make a relationship
Listen,
last.
When it happens to you, there is nothing quite like that in the universe. I mean, there is no thrill quite like that excitement of a first encounter when something electric happens between you.
Lord, for Shirley and me. You're nodding your head. You're thinking about your husband, Steve.
Oh, I am. And I remember, Doctor, after I met Steve, going into work the next day and sitting across from a woman who had been married about 45 years and thinking, how does she last all day without him?
Yeah.
Just thinking she's perfectly content and I'm dying.
Shirley and I were in the cafeteria at college. I was sitting on one side of the cafeteria and she was on the other. And I looked over there and I saw her. And we sat there through that whole meal, catching each other, looking at one another. That was not love. That was infatuation. That was the excitement of a first encounter. But people later say, we fell in love in that moment. Nah, it's not true.
You just teased statement number two.
I'll read that one. Statement number two, true or false, it is easy to distinguish real love from infatuation.
Guess what? The answer is false. Right, Joni?
Incredibly big, fat false.
Yeah, it does not last. That wild ride at the start of a romantic adventure bears all of the earmarks of a lifetime trip. You just try to tell somebody who's 16 years old that he's not really in love. And I said in my book, he'll whip out his guitar and sing about true love. But he has no idea what true love is because he has experienced the exhilaration of a romantic encounter. Joni, you've read the book. Does this ring true to you?
Oh, yes. It rings incredibly true because whenever you see that person for the first time, you're like, oh my goodness, this is something special. This is something exciting. And it kind of reminds me of going up a roller coaster. And then you drop for that 5 seconds. And then you level out and you're like, well,
what happened there?
Like, how did I get to here again?
That's a beautiful illustration, Joni, because roller coaster rides always end.
Yes,
don't
they do.
They don't go on forever. You can't go flying through the landscape indefinitely. It has a predictable endpoint. You get 3 minutes and you come back to the start. Well, I want to emphasize this. I want to give it the greatest possible emphasis. The exhilaration of infatuation at the start of a relationship is never, I say never, a permanent condition. I mean, period. If you expect to live on the top of that mountain year after year, you can forget it because of the nature of human emotions. Emotions go up and then they go down. I put this on a board when I was talking to young adults about it, with a high point and then it drops down as you described, Joni, and then it comes back up and it goes back down. And the distance from the midpoint to the peak is just about the same as the distance from the midpoint to the bottom. Some people don't move a whole lot emotionally. They don't get very excited about anything. They're really pretty boring people. but then it falls down to the lower end of it, and they don't get depressed very often either. But there are others that are just up and down and up and down, and highly emotional people. Well, infatuation is an emotion, and it functions that way. There is this thrill that may last for months or 6 months or 8 months. Eventually, it will come down. That's not love. That's infatuation. I mentioned this line that I put on the board when I was talking to young people, and it went up and it went down and up and down. It was a sine curve, if you know what a mathematical sine curve is. And there was a young husband there, and somebody in the class turned to him and said, "Why'd you guys get married so young?" And he said, "It's because I didn't know about that wiggly line until it was too late."
But, Doctor, it begs the question, how can you tell the difference then if it's so difficult?
The answer is it takes time. The only way to really be sure is to give yourself time for that wiggly line to move because you don't know how your emotions are going to operate. And the best advice I can give a couple that's contemplating marriage or any other important decision is this: make no important life-shaping decisions quickly or impulsively. And when in doubt, stall for time. And that's not a bad suggestion for all of us to follow. Ryan, you didn't take my advice, did you?
You know what, though? I met Laura. I thought, this has got to be the person I'm going to marry. And I went to anybody in my life who I thought had wisdom and said, from the outside, look at the two of us. Does it make sense? Do you think it's going to work? And everybody came back with thumbs up. And so it's been over 6 years, and I am still happy.
And notice that I didn't say there that those who run past this red flag are necessarily going to have a bad marriage. I didn't say that, but you're going to have to work it out after you get married.
And we have.
And and that can sometimes be tough. And if you take a little time, you can avoid some of the bumps and bruises. Shirley and I went together for 3 years and 4 months. By the time I married her, I knew who she was, and I knew who I was and how our emotions would function because they did swing from one extreme to the other. But we recognized them when it happened, and we didn't panic. We stayed steady. And that's my point. If you can possibly do it, give your relationship time to mature.
Joni, why don't you tell us what the third statement is, true or false?
Gladly. People who sincerely love each other will not fight or argue.
What's the answer, Joni?
True.
Sounding false.
Yeah, you know, marital conflict is inevitable as the sunrise. Even in the most loving marriages, it will occur. And if you're not ready for them and you have this fight and you're wounded and you're hurt and you're misunderstood and the other person has the same feelings and you're at each other and you think, we've made a big mistake. You know, I don't even know if I love you. And it's possible to be committed for a lifetime and love the other person with all your heart and not feel any love whatsoever, to feel distant, to feel misunderstood. And it happens. It happens to everybody. It's a shame, but it does. And what you're really doing is getting acquainted with each other.
Doctor, I heard you mention recently that you had spoken with a gentleman who said that the ability to handle conflict is one of the greatest indications of the success of a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. And there is a difference, however, between healthy and unhealthy conflict. Hmm. You know, that begins with you explaining your feelings and helping the other person understand the passions that drive you and why you're reacting this way is healthy. You work through that. But in an unstable marriage or relationship, you turn that toward the other person and you begin to attack and say, you're just like your mother. And who are you anyway? Hmm. And I don't even know if I love you. Those are very hurtful and long-lasting events that 30 years later you will be able to remember. You don't want to give you messages to your partner. You give I messages. You say, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Can you understand how I feel at this moment? And you're helping to explain yourself. You're not belittling the personhood that you have married. You know, the wounded partner is like a cornered animal in some ways because they respond in kind.
Yeah.
And so if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Mm-hmm. And we stand there destroying each other and damaging our love relationships. And sometimes it's punctuated by tears and profanity and things that will stay with you. I have shared this before, and I want everybody to understand the context that it occurred in, because Shirley and I had such a moment, and we'd only been married about 6 months. And I said something that must have hurt her, because she said something that she didn't mean. And she immediately apologized for it. Mm-hmm. But I still tease her and remind her of it. Because she said, if this is marriage, I don't want any part of it. But she didn't mean it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she immediately felt terrible about it. But when you are upset and hurt, you say things, and once they get past your lips, you can never get them back in there.
So true.
That's so important in dealing with a child. You know, be careful what you say to a child, because that youngster will store that somewhere. And when you're dead and gone and they're 45 or 50 years of age, they will recall the day that you said, why can't you be like your sister? Mm. She's so studious. She works hard. She's the sweetest thing. And I don't even know where you came from. You don't seem to fit in this family. You say things like that, it will not go away. Yeah. I guarantee you it will be with you long after the moment that caused it has passed. And when the conflicts occur, and they will occur, don't be shocked when they do. Find a way to work your way through them and not to destroy one another.
Doctor,
I'm preaching now.
Well,
you
this is
that?
Great material for any marriage. I mean, we talked about how we're focusing on the 20-somethings with Joni here as being a 21-year-old, but every marriage can benefit from this. I'm actually anxious to get on to number four, Doctor, because quite honestly, I think number four might create some of the most diverse reactions we could get among people, and here it is.
Look out, Facebook.
Here we go. God selects one particular person for each of us to marry, and he will guide us together.
All right. There's probably more misunderstanding about that one than any other, but it is also false. Hmm. If you believe that God is obligated to bring you the perfect person, and you don't have to use your brain, which God gave you in making that most important decision of life other than accepting Jesus Christ, you're a sitting duck for confusion, because God would not have brought us together if he didn't intend for us to marry.
But there's a sovereignty issue here that I think a lot of people wrestle with.
Yeah.
If God is sovereign, isn't there one person out there selected for me?
I firmly believe that with prayer and with scripture reading and with advice from people you have confidence in, that God will help you make the right choice. But the notion that he operates a matchmaking service for everybody who is called by his name set you up again for yielding to romantic love and infatuation that we've been talking about. And you can, as a Christian, make a very big mistake. You need to know who that person is. Does he or she have addictions that you ought to know about? Does he or she have a wandering eye? Does he or she have a violent temper? There's a lot you need to know. Mm-hmm. And just because you have come into each other's world and you've convinced yourself that you're in love does not diminish the importance of getting on your knees before the Lord and say, lead me here, mm-hmm. Lord. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to get far from your direction and your guidance for me. And I'm going to give it time to let you talk to me. And if I'm doing the wrong thing, let me know it. Mm-hmm. That is very different than saying God selects exactly who you should marry and all of a sudden you're in love and turns out that you weren't.
Joni, I'm curious what you hear from your peers that are 20, 21, 22. What do they think about this one?
I've seen quite a mixed bag, actually. I've had people who believe that God will bring along the one person in their life. And so as such, they don't look, they don't ask, they don't anything. And they're just kind of off in their own world and they wonder why they're single. And then you have people out there who, when they get into that relationship with the person and they're infatuated with them and they think, this is God's will for my life. This is my one person. And say that relationship breaks up. All of a sudden, that person is in a deep faith crisis going, God, this was your will. What was going on here? Where's the one person? And so there's that two sides to it.
And you run past all the red flags because obviously God has told me to do this. I put a story in my book. This is item four again. God selects one particular person for each of us to marry, and he will guide us together. It's false. And I said, a young man whom I was counseling once told me that he awoke in the middle of the night with a strong impression that God wanted him to marry a young lady whom he had dated casually only a few times. And they were not even going together at the time, and they hardly knew each other. And the next morning he called her and he relayed the message that God had supposedly sent him during the night. And the girl figured she couldn't argue with God.
Exactly.
And so she accepted the proposal, and they have been married for 7 years, and they've struggled for survival since the wedding day. You know, anyone who believes that God guarantees a successful marriage to every Christian is in for a shock. This is not to say that he is disinterested in the choice of a mate or that he will not answer a specific request for guidance on this all-important decision. Certainly, his will should be sought in such a critical matter. And I consulted him repeatedly before proposing to my wife. But to quote the Beatles, who said, all we need is love. Unfortunately, we need a little more.
We do it that. Dad, we've only gotten through four of these. We'd love to finish the rest, but listeners are going to have to request this book if they want to hear the rest of the quiz. You can find all of that at familytalk.org.
Okay, I wonder how people did. There are four items there. How many did you get right? All four are false, and I'll bet you many of our listeners said true to one, two, or three of them, maybe all four.
Well, go to our Facebook page and tell us how you scored on the quiz so far.
We would love to hear from them. Doctor, we only have a few minutes left together today. I would love it if you would give us your final thoughts on your new book, Head Over Heels, and this whole topic of understanding romantic love.
Well, let me summarize what I was trying to do with the book and what we've done with these two programs last time and this time. Mm-hmm. We began by talking about the exhilaration of an early romantic relationship and what happens when the emotions take that roller coaster that Joni was talking about. And we go from there with a thrill that cannot be described to those who haven't experienced it, all the way over to the misunderstandings that are represented in those first four items. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? How did that transformation take place? Well, therein lies a key to many broken marriages. And that's what we're trying to prevent. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is designed to say.
Well, Doctor, thank you again for sharing with us from your wonderful new book. Everybody should have a copy on their shelves. Mm-hmm. And Joni, thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
And I think, Joni, you'd agree that every young person ought to be reading this book.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, anyone can request a copy at familytalk.org. Mm-hmm. And let me just point out, when you do so, you are directly helping us stay on the air, and we really do need the financial help right now.
That's true, Luann. If you'd prefer to call us for that book or to donate to our work, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. And again, our website is familytalk.org.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.